today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
Tell fear, false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. That faith is superior to fear. And it will superimpose itself over its reverse, which is fear. Faith is designed to dominate fear. Faith is the principle. Fear is the emotion. Yet, because we're emotional, it'll make us act up, but faith can quell it.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, The Disciples of Stewardship. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 5 through 10.
That was the culture of Egypt at the time. Belly out. No shirt on. You couldn't handle that, but he was God's man. Sitting on the throne with his legs crossed. Speaking 7 languages. You're looking at him from the outside, but God strategically put him there to save many peoples unto life. You're looking through the eyes of religion. You're still thinking about what your last preacher said. You don't understand the time we're in. Believe me, we get them saved. We have an Exodus ministry, but they're all welcome into the house of God. The Bible says Israel was sick and about to die. Jacob is old now. And Joseph brought the 2 boys that he produced into Egypt. They weren't born in the church. They were born in Egypt. Never knew anything about God, only what their daddy told him. And here Joseph brings the 2 boys before his father, realizing, I may be Zaphnath Paneah, but I am not the prophet. My daddy has an anointing on him, and God gave it to him. Even when he spoke to Moses, he said, I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and that one called Jacob. The one that was imperfect. The one that was always trying to scheme and get over on everybody. The one that means supplanter. Coming out of his mother's womb, he grabbed his brother's heel and was trying to take his birthright even from you. Yet God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. He loved him from his mother's womb, not because he did anything, but God made choice. I'm going to use Jacob to do the work. And when he introduces himself to Moses, he didn't give him the name that he gave him when he wrestled with him. He gave him the name of Jacob. He should have, to me now, he should have said, I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Because he changed his name. But when he's speaking to Moses, he called him Jacob. Because I want you to know I can use imperfect people. With your religious self. Pie-minded peacocks in God's zoo walking around like you've never done nothing wrong. God wants to save lives. Can somebody say amen? And he will use your stewardship to do so. And here's Zaphnath Paneah. Most of the church would have said, but you've been out of church too long. You don't even look like you're part of us anymore. And God has positioned him to do something governmentally, managing things at a whole nother level. He's a good steward. And here he brings his 2 boys to Jacob. Jacob strengthened himself. Israel strengthened himself. You read it in the book of Genesis. And Zaphnath Paneah placed Manasseh next to the right hand of Jacob, and he placed Ephraim to his left hand, knowing that his father takes the right hand to place it on the eldest to bless them. In his stewardship, he's right, but he's not prophetic. And the scripture says that Israel switched his hands. And he played his right hand on the younger one and his left hand on the older one. The Bible says Joseph grabbed his hand and say, let it not be so. Your right hand goes on the elder one, and your left hand goes on the younger one. And Jacob said, you may be the governor of Egypt, but I know this. God is about to do something with the younger one, just like he did with you. You forgot? Isn't it amazing that God picked you? You may not be the number one pick, but God chose you when everybody else denied you. Isn't it amazing how you can forget that God can choose somebody else? Just like he told you to do great things and you weren't the first selection, God can choose whoever he will. And he blessed Ephraim to do great things. You and I would have said he not church go. He got an earring in his ear. And an earring in his nose. I ain't telling y'all to go and do that now. You got enough piercings anyway. I'm preaching the word. Let me preach. What you need with eight of them? What you doing? The Bible says the boys came out of Egypt. If they showed up right now, they would fit into the world, but not our church. If they showed up right now, thousands of years ago, the world would say, look at you. They could have the heart of God. We would tell them to go and change your clothes. Or when a woman comes at the altar, first thing we want to do is put a sheet over them. Tell the men to get their eyes up. Let the woman worship. Can the woman worship? If she's pouring her heart out, why don't we stand with the sheet? Versus it putting on and go and sit down. That's old church. Just stand right behind her so you don't disturb the groove. And challenge all you, not just the boy, because women looking at women too. You got to look at all of it. And y'all mad with me because I preach a modern day gospel. But this is the world we live in. Can somebody say amen? It's not just the men looking. So give him thanks. Can some church say amen? Number two, trust God to provide. I said, trust God. The reason why people aren't good stewards is because they trust themselves and their bank account, but they don't trust God. Trust God to provide. Trust is a foundational concept. Number one, trust is the offspring or the baby of time spent and integrity walked in. Trust is the offspring or the baby of time and integrity. If you have time over a period of time doing the right things, you'll see trust grow. It is very easy to kill though, and very hard to raise up again. That's why when you ever build trust, do everything you can to maintain it. Every time, be very, very careful with trust, because the embryo of trust is easy to abort. Over a period of time, it will grow. This is what's happening with many of us. Because we've experienced betrayal or whatever, it's hard for us to trust anybody again, which means you put a wall, a gabot around your own soul. Nobody can come in, and those that's in, you lock them in, they can never go out because the wall is that thick. It almost become like a prison. When we should be more liberal as it relates to those who enter in and enter out, because you can't hurt me like that. I'm going to trust again. Trust is always better than distrust. Distrust is even worse than betrayal, because God forgive you of your betrayal. But distrust will put a gabot around you where nothing can come in again. And you will allow this to affect the way you worship your God. Unless God is blessing you, you won't give him praise. He has to bless you before he gets your mind. Or someone has to say something positive before you smile. When you trust, smiles are coming from the heart. You don't need anything external. You can just start giving God the glory, the praise, and the honor. Can the church say amen? It is a foundational concept for practicing stewardship. People who trust will be better stewards. If you're managing anybody, if you go on a job, you got to trust the people that you're managing. You have to trust them. And your managers have to trust you. How do you feel when they act like they can't trust you? You don't know me? That's what you don't know me? I wouldn't do that. That's how you react to distrust. But yet you don't trust anybody. So if you were elevated into a stewardship managerial position, how would you handle the people if you don't trust? You know what you micromanage. That's what micromanagers do. They don't trust you with anything. They're always watching, listening for something negative so they can pounce on it. That's no way for a church to breathe or a relationship to breathe. It will tourniquet, putting a tourniquet on the relationship. The Leviathan will curl itself around it and squeeze it, constrict it until there's no breath. We must trust again. So I come against the puppet master who betrayed you. And I speak to the principality and the power that has a string on your heart that pulls it when he wants. He pulls it and tells you, you better not trust, and you better not trust them. He's an intimidating spirit that I come against in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you, and the blood of Jesus is against you. And I decree and declare liberty to the captives in the area of trust. And I decree and declare that God is opening up the gates again. And I decree and declare that there's a gate on your boat. And you're going to begin to allow traffic to come from the other side into your heart again. I come against the iron gate of distrust. And thank God for a free flow. It's affecting the way you deal with your resources. You can trust everybody else but God. You can hear something on the internet. You'll go ahead and put your credit card in there. But when your church asks for, I don't do that. I don't trust them. But you trust Amazon, the snake, the river all around the world. You've never seen Bezos. And he's worth $170 billion. He doesn't need more of your money. And you get, he's going into the next stratosphere. He want to go to the moon, to Mars. He's got his mind on a whole nother planet. And you still give him your money, but you can't trust with God. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. You got to see to believe. No, you don't. You never seen Bezos. Everything he put out, you go for. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody quiet now, right? Guess what? He started in 1995, too. Same year this ministry started. He's building buildings in Melbourne, Brevard County, almost every county in the state. And around the world, got major warehouses, and he's still growing. He's in movies. Come on, Prime. In videos, now in medicine. He's gonna start competing with CVS and Walgreens. He's gonna build a hospital after a while. The Amazon Hospital. And people are still going, they like convenience. He had a vision. You trust him more than you trust God. Don't let the enemy cause you to distrust people and you trust in people you've never seen. Put your confidence in God. God will provide. Trust God to provide. He will provide. He's always done it. You know it. When the chips were down, somehow or another God just gave, you just squeezed right through. When you didn't even know how you're going to pay your house, baby, he got so, and you didn't have to do nothing to no man to get it. You didn't have to do nothing. You didn't have to lay out nothing. You didn't have to do anything that compromised you to get nothing. You said no to that, and God still blessed you. And if he did it before, he can what? Trust God to provide. Thank you, Jesus. I believe we need to give. We have some baby is praying, crying, praying. Come on, let's give God praise for always providing. Think about it. It is easy for many of us to trust God with our eternal life that we can't really see than to trust him with our day. Oh, he saved me. I'm going to heaven. Really? I believe you are if you believe in Jesus. But do you trust Jesus with your resources today that you can't take to heaven? Nothing that you own will squeeze through that corridor. You got to leave it for somebody else. I was in a barbershop one time, and I was telling men this. I was in my 20s. I said, man, we need to have insurance, we need to have insurance. If something happened to you, you know, your family will be taken care of. This old man said, who taught you that? I said, I read it in a book. I never met Martin Luther King. I saw him in a book, saw a picture of him. Was he here? Yes, he was here. Okay. I never met John F. Kennedy either. He died before I was born. But was he here? Yeah, I saw it. Well, I saw it in a book. And what I'm telling you, I read in a book. Have you ever read the Bible? Why are you getting smart? I said, because you're smart. You're the older one. It's because you're old. You may be old, but you're lacking wisdom. If I'm telling truth, why would it bother you? Because I'm young. The Bible says while you're young, you can have some wisdom. You don't have to wait until you're old to get wisdom. You can get it now. I said, so make sure you do this and that to take care of your family if something happens to you. He said, why would I do that? And leave my house to another man. I say, you wouldn't know who's in it when you die. So you're going to block your family away from a blessing because you don't want no man? You wouldn't know if you're not breathing. Anybody telling you they're talking to the dead, be careful with that. David said the dead can't praise. Jesus help me. Trust God to provide now. And if you can pay anything for insurance, you can trust him with some money now. Because you won't even live to see the benefit. When it comes to practical things like putting food on the table or making a mortgage payment, or we operate in our own, on our own, being able to take care of yourself or to be self-sufficient as a result of all of the hard work we do, we often worry and experience anxiety, but we still do it. Why can't we trust God even though we feel a little anxiety? The fear is the result of an inability to trust. The more trust you have, the less fear you'll see in your life. Thank you, Lord. And I'm asking God to help me in all areas of fear. I don't care who you are. Fear will try to show up in your life. The key is never allow fear to be the teacher or the principal of your school. It may be a substitute, try to come in for a few days, but it is not your teacher. Don't allow fear to give you a lesson plan and to shape your future. Tell fear, false evidence appearing real, false evidence appearing real, that faith is superior to fear. And it will superimpose itself over its reverse, which is fear. Faith is designed to dominate fear. Faith is the principle. Fear is the emotion. Yet, because we're emotional, it'll make us act up, but faith can quell it. That's why I speak faith to your fears in the name of the Lord. And I push back on your fears in the name of Jesus. And I command fear to lessen its flow and its effect in your life. And I command the faith that he's put in you, the faith that was once delivered to the saints, the faith that kept them going through fiery furnaces, the faith that kept them, hallelujah, through lions' dens, the faith that helped them to walk through the Red Sea, glory to God, the faith that drove them out of Egypt and carried them to the promised land, the faith that helped your fathers, the faith that helped you in America, the faith that brought folk out of slavery and put them in. This is Black History. Faith that helped you to do some things that you never thought you would do. Why are you going back to fear? Glory to God. Martin Luther King lost his life in Memphis, Tennessee, not because he was talking to a bunch of college students or because he was helping CEOs to understand stuff now where real prophets or people who say they're prophets want to get to now, the CEOs, so they can make more money. He was helping sanitation workers begin to get better pay. He heard the threats. I don't know if I'll be able to. I had a dream, but I don't know if I'll be able to get there with you. I don't know. The stuff that I'm hearing that they're telling me, the calls that's coming to me telling me if I do it, if I march again, I'm done. I don't know if I'll be able to march with you all again. But I've seen the promised land, and I believe that all of you one day we're going to get over where nobody will judge you by the color of your skin, but by the content of your character. I had a dream. And you let fear lock you down when it's in your DNA. It's deep down inside of your DNA to be a man or woman of courage. What's wrong with us? What's wrong? You've been softened because you've been watching iPhones too much and you're not reading the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the more word you get, the more courage you should have. Don't tell me you know the word and you're full of anxiety. They can't stay in the same house. Can we give God a praise? I feel the Holy Ghost on that. Oh my God, faith is coming alive. Wow. I still got 3 or 4 more to go, but I won't do it today. We'll hit it again. I want you to accept God's provision in your life and find the commitment in the source, not the supply. Let me say it again, very powerful point. Accept God's provision in your life. And find commitment or contentment in the source, not in the supply. Many of us, we feel better when we get more money. That's the supply. But where's the source of the supply? Remember, we are managers and not owners. The scripture's on the screen, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 through 8. As they put that on the screen, I want us to read it together. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. Let's read it together. 1, 2, ready, read. But godliness... godliness with contentment is great gain. Look at the next verse. For we brought nothing. We brought nothing into the world. I've been preaching it. You're not going to take anything out of it. That's how it works. Let's look at the last verse here. God says, if you have food and clothing, that's enough to thank me for. Because I put something in you, you can always expand. Even if you're in a bad situation right now, you go to ground zero, you can always rise up. And if you're really hurting right now, say, God, I know this is pretty bad, but you did it before, you can do it again. That's what you need to say. Can the church say amen? Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's not saying you need to be content with the salary that you're making. You can have more. But as it relates to a good attitude, You can start right there. Because you put your confidence not in the supply, but in the source. Check it out. You check it out. Where's your confidence, your contentment? Is it in the supply or in the source? The source makes the supply. The source is the one that creates the supply. God is the supplier. Seek first the kingdom, and God will add all of these things unto you.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message from the Disciples of Stewardship, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2202-2011. That's reference number 2202-2011.
Bishop has been working on his new podcast, Envision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This podcast is designed to impact nations. You will be able to subscribe to Envision on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or any podcast platform. Let's support our bishop by sharing the news with friends, family, and coworkers today.
Registration for Vacation Bible School 2022 is open. It is time for our children to realize everyone has star power in Jesus with Shining Star 2.0. Get more details and registration information in the Truth Revealed mobile app or log on to our website, truthrevealed.org, to register your children ages 2 through 6th grade. Calling all Abishai-inspired men, including young men and boys. Mark your calendar for Bishop's birthday breakfast and the regularly scheduled AIM Monthly Fellowship on Saturday, July 9th at the Tides Club, Patrick Space for Space. The cost is $25 and payments can be made at the Communication and Promotion Counter or online at truthrevealed.org until Sunday, June 26th. Check out the Truth Revealed mobile app for details.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hi, I'm Captain Jim Ross. My son, Captain Justin Ross, and I give our listeners weekly tips to help them catch more fish every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on our Catch a Memory Outdoors radio program on this station. Now it's time for you to get some one-on-one attention to seriously improve your fishing skills. Call Fineline Fish and Charters and let us help you become the angler you've always wanted to be. We offer instructional fishing charters that will have you hooking up to fish in no time. Learn how to read the water, spot cruising fish, tie knots, and cast like a pro. Just give us a call, 321-636-3728, or go to our website, finelinefishingcharters.com, and book your entertaining and instructional fishing charter with one of us today.
Keep me ever in your